Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
So we're continuing our study of the book of John, and man, we are just blazing through this thing, just blazing through it. Truthfully, I think that when we slow down and go through it, I just get a lot more of it. This morning, I want to talk to you about having a vision and a plan for your life. I think it's so vitally important that you have an idea of where you're going. A lot of times, people just kind of let life happen to them instead of making life happen. And I'm of the thought process that God has a vision for everybody's life, that He has something that He wants to do with you. And there's God's perfect will, and then there's God's permissive will. And that God's permissive will is sometimes you can kind of choose what color that you want to buy or whatever, but His perfect will is the place where you find exactly where you're supposed to be, exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And today we're going to be looking at just a small portion of scripture about Jesus' life. And we can see in Jesus' life that Jesus has a plan. Amen? Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. But as He is a man, He has been given a vision by God to do something. And so because of that, it is important that Jesus follows the plan that God has for him and he gets it done. That he doesn't just arbitrarily change what he's going to do. He's going to get to where he needs to be, regardless of what everybody else around him is doing. One of the biggest problems with visions and plans is that a lot of times you will have a vision or a plan for your life, and God will tell you something that you're going to do, and then you get around a bunch of well-meaning people, interestingly enough. Usually Christians are the most discouraging people in the world when it comes to the plans of God. You hang around a bunch of people that say they know God, and then you start talking about things you want to do for God, and they're like, man, you don't want to do that, man. That sounds... You don't want to sell it all. You don't want to give it all away. You don't want to go and serve them. And so we're looking at the life of Jesus today and just kind of seeing how he's a guy that gets it done. Amen. So the title of today's message is Get It Done Like Jesus and Have a Plan. Amen. And I know for some of you, you're going to see the scripture and say, man, I don't see it in there. Well, luckily I have the time to go over this and see it. And so you'll see it when I'm done. Amen. So in John chapter 7, we're going to be in verse 32 through 36. We're now in the New King James Version of the Bible. Amen. This is now the authorized Faith and Victory Version. You'll be hearing from it up here. You'll be seeing it on the screen. And we've got some fantastic paperback Bibles with 6-point font that you can have back there. So John chapter 7, verse 32, it says, the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him. The Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. He says, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he not intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Now, these are some pretty cryptic verses this morning. I know that for some, you're like, how does this have to do with vision and having a plan? Well, hold on, man. I'm fixing to explain it to you. Because as I was reading this, I could kind of see what it says and kind of see what it means. But really, when it comes to Scripture, I'm always thinking, what does it mean to me, though? Like, I can understand the context of what Jesus was talking to these Pharisees and that they didn't fully understand that he had come to be the Savior and that he was directed to go to the cross and that he had to go provide for humanity salvation. And so I can understand that context, but as I read my Bible, first and foremost, the point of the Bible is for the Bible to transform me. Amen. It's supposed to change something inside of me and redirect me. So as I was looking at it, I was thinking, what is the application for me? Because what Jesus was explaining to these guys is that, listen, I'm right here, but I want you to know that I'm here because I'm going somewhere else. I'm just merely passing through. And he says to him, I'm going to go to heaven and you're not going to be able to see me. And when he says, you can't come with me, it's not so much that they can't go to heaven. Because some people interpret it that way. is that he's kind of damning these guys. And say, you can say damning in church because that's, you know what I mean? That's exactly what he's doing, right? And so he's kind of damning these. Some people interpret it as he's damning these guys and saying that they're going to not be able to go to heaven. And that's not really what he's describing. What he's saying is that I've got a job to do that you cannot do. My job that I have to do is not, you can't come there with me. I'm the only one that can go to the cross. I'm the only one that can provide salvation. I'm the only one that can set the world free. And so where I'm going to the cross, you cannot come. You can't go there with me. And so the scripture actually says that they thought that he was going to have to go to the dispersion of the Greeks. And what that is it's a place where all the Greek rejects hung out, you know. And so they figure, well, if he's going, we're not going where the Greeks are. So that's probably where he's going because we're not going to be down there. Now, surprise, this is the end of this verse, is that the guys don't have any understanding what he's saying.
What does he mean, man?
It's like a lot of people, right? Because they don't really understand the full story of God when they read portions of Scripture, they don't really fully understand the whole story, and these guys are really no different. So what does it mean? So here's the first thing that it means, is that Jesus gets it done, okay? Jesus gets it done. Jesus knows where his destiny lies, and his destiny lies in the cross. He must go to the cross to accomplish what he came to accomplish, and he is not going to circumvent the plan of God. Just because the people around him don't understand what he's doing doesn't change the mission that God gave him. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Amen? Just because the people around him didn't understand what he was saying or what he was doing didn't change the plan that God had for him. Just because people don't understand the plan that God has for your life doesn't mean that you circumvent the plan of God and go a different route just because you're around a bunch of people that don't know what God is doing in your life. Amen? Jesus, when given a task or a goal, is going to accomplish a goal. And of course, we should have that same thought and idea in our own head. But the truth is, and this is kind of where it starts to get exciting, is that unlike Jesus, like Jesus did it through the strength of the Holy Spirit, because again, that interdependency of 100% God, 100% man, Jesus did a lot of things as a man dependent on the Holy Spirit. It wasn't God in the flesh doing it, it was the man doing it under the power of the Holy Spirit. So we, in the same way, must do things under the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only do that plan that God has for us with his help. We can't. God doesn't just send us out and say, here's the plan, go and do it. He sends us out and comes with us. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives us that power to be able to accomplish that what he called us to do. Amen. Here's an idea that I want you to get wrapped around your head this morning. If Jesus didn't accomplish what he needed to accomplish, you wouldn't be where you're at today. None of us would be sitting here today. I don't know what we would be doing, but we wouldn't be here if Jesus wasn't somebody who got it done. Sometimes people seem to forget that we're sitting here today because what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. All of our lives have been completely transformed and changed. We change the way we think, speak, act, the way we spend our time, the way in which we interact with this world because what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And he didn't shuck his responsibility. He didn't choose to do something else. He saw the cosmic responsibility of what everyone was going to gain by what he was doing. And it drove him to do what he did. A lot of times God will call you to do something and you think so simple-mindedly, well, how is this going to help me? Instead of thinking, how could this help the world? Most ideas, most movements, most revolutions in this world were usually started by an individual. They get an idea. God speaks to them and says, this is how it's going to change. Folks, we wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for Martin Luther. Because we are Protestants, like Martin Luther was a Protestant. Did you know that Martin Luther was the first person to come up with the idea of justification by faith alone? And we take it as so easy, right? We're justified by faith alone. What that means for those of you that don't know, justified by faith alone means believing in Jesus is enough to get you to heaven. That's what justification by faith. Martin Luther was the first person to come up with that idea. And you think, well, gosh, everybody knows that. Well, hundreds of years ago, apparently they didn't. The only person that did was Martin Luther. And he figured it out. And he said, man, why do I have to get to heaven by doing what the church tells me to do? I get to heaven by doing what Jesus told me to do. One guy. One guy. I love people that get it done. Do you like people that get it done? No excuses. They just make it happen somehow. There's people like this in this world. I don't know if you know any of them. Did you know that when it comes to a task, you can always come up with an excuse of why you can't get it done? There's
so many easy excuses of why you can't get it done.
You might find it interesting. I used to be a guy that never got it done. Like, internally, the story of my life, like in high school and in portions of college, I would do everything that I could to make sure that somebody else did my responsibility and I wasn't held accountable for. I would figure out any opportunity I could to circumvent the system to not have to get something done. You know, can I confess for a minute? I was supposed to take a math class when I was in college, and I never took it because I hate math. And so what I would do is, they said, you can't sign up for your other classes unless you sign up for this math class. Well, do you know what I figured out? You just sign up for the math class, and then 2 weeks later, you drop it, and you just do that every quarter for 4 years. They never figured it out, man. I got through 4 years of college. Some of you are like, ooh. But that's what you do when you don't want to get something done. You just keep throwing it aside. Bless God, I'd never have to use math in this job. Bless God. Amen. I haven't used algebra once since I've been here. That's why we hired Todd, computer science, man. He can get it done. Amen. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus' mindset was such that he looked past his present circumstances. He said, you know what, I understand that you may not understand me now, but you're going to understand me later. So I'm not so concerned that you're not going to fully understand what I'm doing now, because he knew what was at the end of the road, and it drove him to keep on doing what he was doing. Folks, we serve a Savior that gets it done. Amen? Can you rest in the fact that God has not forgot about your situation, and that if Jesus has spoken to your situation and he says that he's going to get something done, in God's due timing, he will get it done in Jesus' name. Amen? We serve a God that gets it done. See, here's the other part of it, is that Jesus had a plan. He had a plan. He wasn't just going to go to the cross. He had a plan on how he was going to get there. You read a lot in the Gospels where there's portions of Scripture that they say before the appointed time. Before the appointed time. And that's an indication that Jesus knew the plan, man. Hey, that rhymes. Amen. He knew the plan. Jesus' plan was always to do the will of the Father, not to do his own will. He's going to go back to the one that sent him. And from the time from the time that Jesus came on this earth, do you realize he wasn't just figuring it out as he went along?
Yeah.
He wasn't like, ooh, okay, let's see what we're going to do here. As he went along, he knew who and what and where he was going. He had a plan. I'm going to spend some time talking. I'm going to spend some time doing some miracles. Don't get arrested. You know, make sure to tell people what to do before I get out of here. Jesus' ministry was the perfect length of time to accomplish what he needed to accomplish before he went to the cross. And some people would say, well, why didn't he just, I mean, Jesus could have accomplished what he needed to accomplish as an infant, right? I mean, if he would have died on the cross as an infant, he still would have satisfied the wrath of God. But he had a lot more that he needed to do than satisfy the wrath of God on our behalf. He had to tell people some stuff, show us the direction to the Father, preach sermons, to be able to direct people in the affairs of life. And so he knew this, so he couldn't get to the cross until he had accomplished all those other things, and it was part of God's plan. Every good finish has a good plan, amen? Many times Jesus had to evade the authorities or redirect people who were looking for him so he could get where he needed to be. And his plan was a simple plan: preach the kingdom, go to the cross, leave some disciples in charge with the help of the Holy Spirit. But he had a plan. He wasn't some willy-nilly kind of like, nah, I was going to figure it out. I was like, oh, I got to get to the cross eventually. But hey, man, let's go down to Galilee. Let's see what's going on down there. That's not Jesus. His disciples probably didn't know what the plan was. They probably didn't. Where's he going today, man? He's out in the woods. He's, you know, praying to God. Now he's down at the lake. Where did he go, man? Jesus is like, listen, I have a plan. He said in Luke 14:28, he says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" Jesus spoke about this because he knew the benefits of having a plan. He figured, you know what? Maybe I should leave something to help out these other people that don't know how to make a plan in their life. You have a plan that God has given you for your life. And for those of you that are sitting here this morning, there's different kind of people in here this morning. Some of you know the plan and you're walking it out. You're like, dude, know the plan, walking it out. Some of you know the plan and aren't walking it out. And some of you have no plan. Some of you are like, a plan, that's a plan, yes. Let's do that. That would be good. So if you're here and you've got the plan and you're walking out the plan, bless God, man. I'm proud of you. God's proud of you. Stick with it. Amen? Amen. If you don't know the plan and you're not doing the plan, get with the plan. Amen? Now, if you don't have a plan and you don't know the plan, bless God, pray and ask God for a plan. Ask him, say, man, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And do you know when you ask God questions like that, interestingly enough, he'll answer them. He will answer them. All you have to do is ask him, say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And he will speak to you by his Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you exactly where you need to go and what you need to do. He's interesting like that. Just some of y'all are afraid to ask. Man, what's going to happen to me? Do I have to go to the cross? Maybe. You won't have to go to the cross. Amen. It'll just feel like it. Amen. Sometimes. You have to have a plan to get to where you want to go. You can't merely expect that it's going to happen. Something will happen. Something always happens. Bless God. It just may not be the thing that you wanted to have happen. That's right. And Jesus' plan was always to go to the cross. If he hadn't gone to the cross, he wouldn't have been able to accomplish what he came to accomplish. Namely, that we would be saved from our sins. Amen. Say amen if you're glad that Jesus went to the cross. Amen. Amen. That was most people. That's good. And this is the other part of this with Jesus. And I know I see these things in Scripture because I'm not like Jesus, but I want to be like Jesus. And so a lot of times the things I see in Jesus are things that I think are really cool. And so the last part of this that I saw is that Jesus keeps him guessing. You notice that with Jesus? He loves to like say things that people don't fully understand or like kind of leave them hanging. They're like, what did he mean? Like he's totally fine with just like throwing it out there and be like, see you later. And then he takes off like, what did that guy mean? The Jews didn't have any idea what Jesus was doing at this point, and he didn't care. Yeah, no. He didn't care at all. He wasn't sitting home going, man, they probably don't know what I'm doing. I'm worried. Why didn't Jesus care? Because he knew that God knew, and that he knew what he was doing, and he was satisfied with that. He said, where I'm going, you cannot go. It's a term that Jesus fully understood what he was saying, although the Jews around him weren't sure what he was saying. He says, you know, where I'm going, you cannot go. And he's fine with that. It's kind of cryptic. And did it mean that he was going to go to heaven and they couldn't go? Probably not. Because the way I read my Bible is that probably Jesus wouldn't condemn these guys to hell without giving them a chance. He just wouldn't do that. That's probably not what he's talking about. Did it mean he was physically going to a place and they weren't invited? Probably not. These guys could go to wherever they wanted, right? It was pretty free and open. They could go to wherever they wanted to go. It probably meant that Jesus was going to the cross to be able to provide for the salvation of mankind. And these guys, they weren't able to go there. They weren't on the list of people whose job it was to save the world. It's a very short list of whose job it is to save the world. And they couldn't go. And so Jesus just kind of kept them guessing. He didn't care that they didn't fully understand what they meant. He left them in a lurch. Verse 35, then the Jews said to themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? The only option in these people's minds was that Jesus was going to go somewhere they couldn't go, so it must have been where all the Greeks are, and Jesus just leaves them guessing. And I guess, I don't know why I love that so much. I guess because in my mind, I feel okay with people not fully understanding me. And most people haven't understood me my whole entire life. It's fine. So I kind of identify with that. But I think it's a good lesson for us and that we don't have to fully explain ourselves to other people. Amen? Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about what it means to you. The first thing it means to you is this. Do you know where you're going? No one. Okay, then this is good. This sermon's for you. My wife was the only one. She didn't even say, So none of you know where you're going. So let's talk about this. I kept coming back to that verse as I was studying out the sermon. Where I am going, you cannot come. And actually, the Holy Spirit used that to me, where I said to myself, do I know where I'm going? Because in this story, Jesus knows exactly where he's going, right? He says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And the story behind the story is, Jesus knows where he's going. So the application to you is, do you know where you're going? Jesus knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. Do you know where you're going? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know the plan that God has for your life? There's nothing wrong with not having a plan every day, but there's something wrong with having no plan. And some people say, well, I want a life with no plans. Man, then you are not walking in the way in that Jesus has for you. Because even if you didn't have no job and, you know, you won the lottery, God would have something for you to do with your life. Amen? Yeah. If that's you and you won the lottery and you're looking for that plan, you come see me. Amen? I got some ideas. We go fund the kingdom. Amen? The first part of the plan is this. Have you made reservations in heaven? That's the first part of the plan. Okay? There's no other plan of God that supersedes the most important plan, which is, have you made your reservations in heaven? Have you had your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you ensured that if you went to sleep tonight and you woke up not alive, would you end up in the place that you want to go, which is life everlasting with Jesus? First and foremost, you must make a plan for eternity to go spend eternity with Jesus. Amen? You've got to make those reservations. How do you do that? You have to believe that what Jesus did on the cross paid the penalty for your sin. And if you believe that, you need to make plans to go to heaven when you die, because either you're making plans for eternity or you're not. Every day is a life that's lived with the expectation of dying one day and going to heaven. Either you're making those plans for eternity or you're not. When Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot go, he is saying something to us. Amen? Something to you and something to us. In other words, and this is part of it, folks, we don't go to heaven on our own. Amen? We don't go to heaven to the Father beside Jesus, assisting him, or behind Jesus, imitating him. We go to the Father through Jesus. Does that make sense? You don't get to heaven by imitating Jesus. You don't go to heaven by following Jesus. You get to heaven through Jesus. Jesus says in this verse, he says, where I'm going, you cannot follow. I'm going to go die for you and become the way to God. You can't follow now. Only I can do this. This is my work alone. But you will follow afterward because I will make a way. Amen. All of your failures, all of your sins, you will come through me. That's why Jesus could say, no one comes to the Father except through me. This plan, and we're going to talk a little bit about life plans, but let's make it clear, folks. The spiritual plan that God has for your life is the most important plan that you can have. You can't just accomplish a bunch of things on this planet and please God. The only thing that pleases God is faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, and being able to make heaven through Jesus. And so Jesus makes it very clear to these Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come, because I'm going to provide it for you. Amen? And this is very good news for us. Amen? The Bible even calls it good news. Through me, through Jesus. Do you know where you're going? First and foremost, I don't even want to talk about life plans without really hammering this point of, do you know where you're going for eternity? Because if you know that part, the other part all adds up. Amen? If you know, man, reservations, heaven, Lamb's Book of Life, solid. Then we can start talking about what you can do on this side of heaven that's going to help build the kingdom before we all get there. Amen? Because here's the part of it. Once you become a believer in Jesus, okay, it's a supernatural thing that happens. And I can't fully explain it. I can just tell you it's either caught, it's caught, it's not taught. Amen? Once you have received Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells within you, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you about things concerning your life. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you like, I don't know, receive Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to speak in you and through you to give you direction. Here's what it says in Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And some people read that scripture and say, well, how does that work? Well, if you're a follower of God, if God has dwelt within you, he will guide you. Amen? People say, well, I don't have that kind of firm direction in my life. Well, then maybe you don't know Jesus as well as you should. Because when you know Jesus, he will direct you. He will instruct you and teach you in the ways in which you should go, and he will guide you with his eye. Do you know where you're going? Now, you don't have to be specifically building something or creating something necessarily. Your plan could be to be the best spouse ever, or the best parent ever, or the best worker ever, or the best member of this church. But you got to have something. Amen? You got to have some sort of plan. If I came up to you and I said, man, what's your plan for your life? You'd be like, I don't know, man. Hopefully lunch today. That's the first part of the plan. It's sad, but some people have no idea where they're going. I mean, your plan would be, I want to have 8 kids so I can repopulate the planet before I go to heaven and bring more people to heaven with me. That's a plan. Amen. I want to know the Word of God better than anybody else. That's a plan. Amen. I want to serve God with reckless abandon and everything. That's a plan. Amen. I want to work down at the widget factory and be the best widget maker in the world for the glory of God. Amen. That's a plan. But you got to have something. If not, you're just, okay. That's how you get deceived. That's how a bunch of deceivers will come along and be like, well, here's someone that doesn't know what they're doing. Here, let me pull you along, and I'll bring you to this place that you shouldn't go, to things you shouldn't do, but because you didn't have any plan, I'll give you a plan. And it's not going to be the plan of God, but you're going to have a sense of direction for the first time in your life. Unfortunately is right. Do you know where you're going? Are you making your life happen, or are you letting life happen? You're just letting it happen to you. You got to spend some time in prayer and say, and God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? I like Jeremiah 29:11. He says, behold, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And he does have plans for you, but you have to walk them out. It's that interdependency of God's plan and our ability to walk them out. God has his perfect will and his permissive will, and God has a specific plan for you and what he has you to do, but you actually have to put your feet forward. Amen? If God has said to you, you're going to get promoted, you've got to actually work towards promotion. You got to work on your packet. You've got to do the work necessary to be able to do that. People say, well, God wants to get me a job. Well, you've got to actually fill out the application. Yeah. Amen. You got to actually do some work. Amen. And I don't have the time to fully go into this, but the interdependency of God's plans and our work, it just kind of works together, amen? God has called me to be a pastor. I can't lay in my bed and say, if God wanted me a pastor, he'd bring 200 people into my room. Let me preach to him. I got to do something, man. You got to put your hand to the plow.
Yeah, come on.
You got to put some work into this thing. Because here's what happens when you start to work and you walk them out. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When you are a follower of God and you are a good man, he will order your steps. You'll say, you want by God's grace, I'm going to step out in faith, and God will take your foot and be like, whoop, this is where I want your foot to go. He will direct that foot. Yeah, and you know what's funny about God is that you'll be trying to do something and even do it wrong, but because you're doing something, he has the ability to redirect your steps into where he needs you to go, because at least there's some movement where he can kind of push you a little bit. Amen? Do you know where you're going? And if you know where you're going, do you have a plan? This is basic stuff, folks. But some people are like, that's a good one, a plan. Write that down today. If you don't have a plan, write down, have a plan. Because if God has given you a goal, if he's given you where you're supposed to go, a place you're trying to get, just like Jesus, right? Jesus knew where he was going. He was going to the cross. He had to have a plan on how he was going to get there, right?
He wasn't like, man, I got to go to the cross eventually. How am I going to do this?
I would have loved to spend time with Jesus. How confident do you think that guy was? But it was. Excuse me, I spit on you. I get so excited. It wasn't just like this. Like, it wasn't a cockiness or anything. It was just this confidence. You know what I mean? Like a look in his eyes of just like, I'm fine with it, man. I know what I'm doing. I can't wait to meet Jesus and just look in his eyes and see. It's probably just like nothing we've ever experienced on this side of heaven. But he had a plan. He knew exactly what he was doing. And here, let me speak to plans for a minute here, because you know what? I'm a guy that makes plans, amen. I love making plans. But part of God's plan, and I don't know why this is part of it, but there seems to always be a waiting part on God's plan. Has anybody ever noticed that?